began to sing. Their chains were loose, and they sang. I bless your name, oh, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the truth and the way. Your name, some midnight hour, some midnight hour. If you should find you in a prayer in a prison, you're mine, Richard and praise. Divide those chains and then fall in Jesus. Just bless his name. I bless your, oh hallelujah, I bless your name. Glory be to God. I give you honor, I give you praise. Truth and the way. Oh, I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you end up midst of time so hard, reach out and pray. Glory be to God. I give you honor, I give you praise.
You are the
Lord. The truth and the way. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name.
Amen. The Lord bless you this morning. How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord? It's a wonderful thing to come at the beginning of the week to gather with the saints, just to be together to praise God, to honor his resurrection. It looks like a foolish and waste of time thing to the world, but it's the greatest privilege that we can have this morning. So we are certainly thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Would like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Just for a short Sunday school class. We'll continue from what we were doing last week. Matthew 11 from verse 28. And Jesus spake and say unto them, those are just my words, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
And that's where we would like to come to by God's grace, perhaps maybe next week. To see this rest that the Lord is going to give us. But he says something there, and he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So that's a very interesting thing there, that taking the Lord's yoke, him being meek and lowly, is associating it with finding rest. So by God's grace, we are going to come to that next week, if we can manage to go through what we have here today. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace and your mercies once again this morning that has kept us safe through this last week, Lord, and you brought us into another week, Lord. We thank you this morning that you have allowed us to gather, to sing together, to look into your word, Lord. Let it say something to us this morning. We pray, Father, even for the pastor as he waits for you, that you may speak, Lord, thy word and anoint him, Father, that when we come to the preaching of the word, oh God, may it raise us higher, Lord, to a higher ground than where we are this morning. We ask all this now and ask your blessings upon this Sunday school class. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. And I think our time, I don't know what happened today, but it's already 10 minutes gone of Sunday school. And I really needed the 30 minutes today. So we'll see how the Lord will lead us. So we were looking at this topic of meek and lowly last week, just trying to build a foundation, because we really wanted to look at what is meekness, because it is such an important quality that we must have. And you can see right here how the Lord Jesus is associating meekness with finding rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you, because I am meek and lowly. Now, if you read throughout all the testaments, you'll find a lot of places where Jesus speaks about, I am this, I am that, you know. And he says, I am the bread of life. He speaks about, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I'm the door to the sheepfold. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, you are the branches. And all these characteristics that he speaks about, he is describing his sonship as the savior of the world. But the only time he ever described his humanity as a man, he said, I am meek and lowly. So there must be something about that quality of being meekness. And I'm very convinced today that this is why it has been attacked so much. Because right now, if we were to ask anybody what is to be meek, a lot of people don't know. The word has lost its meaning over the years, because, and there's good reason why that has happened. It has lost its meaning in popular culture. When you ask people what is to be meek, it's not something they would desire to have. It's gotten a bad name in the world today, and people don't want to be meek. When they are describing something that is not good, as we will see shortly here, they call it meek, you know. Even among us Christians, when we begin to find out what do you understand about meekness or meek, a lot of people would confuse meekness with humbleness, and that's completely different. They do overlap in some small area, but meekness and humbleness are two different things. So we were trying to build this foundation there last week, and the reason why this word meekness has gotten such a bad meaning in the world today is because when people look at things, many times they don't look beyond what they are seeing with their eyes. They only look by eyes of flesh. They don't go beyond the eyes of flesh to look perhaps at the spiritual aspect of things. They only see how you react to a situation, how you relate with other people. And so when they see somebody maybe say something bad about you, and then you say, well, I forgive you, they look at that and say, what kind of a person is that? Why isn't he standing up for himself? He's weak, you see, because they're only seeing what they are seeing with their eyes. They are not willing to go one step beyond that to see, why did you say I forgive you instead of standing up for yourself? They see Jesus on the cross and the way they mistreated Jesus on the cross. Yet all Jesus could say was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And the people wagged their heads and say, you understand? So they look at that and they begin to give that quality a certain meaning, and that's how meekness took this unfortunate definition among the people. So some of the people today, this is what they say about meekness, and really it's bad. I didn't want to put this there, but I just wanted, for the purpose of showing how it has taken not the right meaning. Some people say about meekness, it's going to be fun to watch and see how long the meek can keep the earth after they inherit it. I mean, that's blasphemy in my eyes, because the Lord said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And here is a person who thinks he's somebody, and he says, I want to see how long they'll keep that earth after they inherit it. So you can see they're associating meekness with what it is not exactly. And they say, the meek shall inherit the earth, the rest of us are going to the stars. You can see that there's a lot of looking down on the meek when they do that. This is a Bible, this is a dictionary, Oxford Dictionary. In the definition of meek, they say it's being quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on, submissive. But that's not what meekness is. And they give an example there of the word meek. And they say, she brought a meek little husband along. That's not being meek. But that's how the world looks at meekness. And then another dictionary there online, it's a popular dictionary. And they say the adjective meek describes a person who is willing to go along with whatever other people want to do. A yes man. Like a meek classmate who won't speak up. So that's how they look at meekness. But that is not what real meekness is. Because if we were to look in the scriptures now and look at the spiritual side of us, of it, it really isn't what the world thinks meekness is. Now, I would like to invite you to the book of Matthew chapter 26 and look at something there that may help us to begin to build the true definition of what meekness is. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus had gone to the garden with his disciples and he went there to pray because the hour had come for his sufferings to go through them. And when Judas Iscariot came to Jesus and betrayed him, we pick that story from there in about verse 51, maybe verse 50. You can put those scriptures there, sister, if you can. Verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And thus it must be. So here is a picture here of Jesus, to whom all power on earth and in heaven has been given. Now I mean all power, because all he had to do was to wink his eye and the angels could be on the scene and change this whole picture. That's power. But he knew that scripture must be fulfilled. So when these people came and laid hands on Jesus, him knowing scripture must be fulfilled, he submitted himself not to these people, but to the will of the Father. But when people were looking and seeing Jesus submitting himself, they were like, he's submitting himself to these soldiers. We can beat these guys. And he drew out his sword. And then Jesus says, put that back. Don't you think I can call my Father and angels can come here? So we can begin to see here, even though he had so much power, yet when it came to a time where he could have been tempted to use that power, he submitted it to the will of God. That is meekness right there. And now let's see how the world looks at it. Because in the next chapter, when they had now put him on the cross, if we go to chapter 27, we start from verse 40. It will build a picture for us there, right there. Maybe if we can... maybe verse 37 might give us a bit of context. And these soldiers, they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed reviled him, wagging their heads. They looked at this whole spectacle, that this Jesus who raised people from the dead, who opened the eyes of the blind, who fed thousands and thousands with just two loaves and five fishes, there he is on the cross. He couldn't save himself. And they wagged their head. Would you want to have such kind of a quality in your character? I mean, none of us would want to be looked at as weak, that we can do all these things, but we can't save ourselves. My, that's why they were wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself." Huh? Because the temple took years to build. Here's a man who claims, "I can destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days." They didn't look beyond just the words, the spiritual aspect of it. They were looking at, "Oh, this big temple he can destroy and build in 3 days. But now look at him on the cross. He can't save himself." You see, and "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." What a temptation. This is a great temptation right there. Because Jesus could hear what these people were saying. And he could very well save himself from that cross. But because he wanted the word of God to be fulfilled, he submitted all his power under the will of God. They didn't look at that. They looked at him just as a man. Why didn't he save himself? Because that's what you would do in if somebody came to your house to try to take you, Brother Mike. Break the doors. I mean, Brother George knows that very well. Break the doors and the thieves come in. And Brother George says to Sister Liana, "No, just stay in bed. Let the will of God be done. They are supposed to take our air fryer and things." You wouldn't do that. Somebody's breaking in. You get up and you go to defend yourself. Well, because maybe we don't know whether that be the will of God or not. But here is Jesus, knowing this is the will of God, and going through all this abuse, yet like a lamb, he never opened his mouth. Because he knew the will of God must be fulfilled. That was absolute power under perfect control. Now, this quality of being meek is mentioned again in the book of 1 Peter, which I would like to read. 1 Peter chapter 3, I think. And is described with such beautiful words that you ought to be desiring it when we leave here today. 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. In the sight of God, it is of great price. My. So what is it saying here? That our adorning should not be so much about the outside and how well we can dress, even though that is good. And it should not focus only on that, but it should be that of the inner man. That this inner man must be adorned with something that is not corruptible. Something that is of great value to the Lord. An ornament. And an ornament is, when you put ornaments, is to make something beautiful. And how you make your soul beautiful? By adorning that quality of meekness, which is of great value to the Lord. And it being of great value is the very reason now why the devil has attacked this quality so much. To the point that we don't know what is to be meek. Even among Christians now. If you show meekness, people sure look at you as weak. They think you are something weird, you know. But no, when you look at things from a spiritual aspect, meekness, it goes right down to the very motive and objective of why you said what you said. Why you came up here and sang a song in the church, because sometimes people can do that, and we can clap hands, yet they are doing it absolutely for the wrong reasons. Meekness is the intentional act of making yourself small, submitting yourself to the will of God and nothing else but the will of God. Even though you have the power to do something, you've got the power to overcome this whole room of people, but you submit yourself for the sake of others. Now, meekness is not a quality you can describe in relation to just yourself. It's everything to do with you and God. It is not just of itself a quality, because meekness is having complete power, yet it's under perfect control, where God is in control of your power that he has given you. Even though you can use it to achieve what you want to do, yet you will only use it only when the Father shows you. No wonder Jesus said, I do nothing except what the Father shows me. He could have walked to the pool of Bethsaida and healed every one of those people that were there. He had the power to do that. He could have done that. But he walked there and the Father had showed him, you go to that man and that alone. He wasn't even the worst case there. And he went and he spoke to the man and the man was healed and Jesus walked away. What do you think people would have thought of Jesus? Because it's a nice story to read from us, our perspective as Christians. What do you think the relatives of the other sick people there would have said? Or even the other sick people there? He came here and healed just one man and walked away. They would have mocked him. Say, if he was the Son of God, why didn't he heal all of us? Why doesn't he go to the grave and open the grave and make everybody else rise? Why only Lazarus? So you can begin to build a picture about meekness. It's when you have the power to do something and you use it to help others, even at the cost of your own reputation, at the cost of your own advancement, even at the cost of people saying bad things about you. None of those things come into the picture. All you want to do is to be in complete obedience to God's word and use it only for his glory and nothing else. Now, if you can put again my slide there, just to look at one small, this word meekness, the word meek itself, it comes from the word called praus, okay? Praus, how you pronounce it. The word praus was borrowed from the military and relates to horse training. When a horse passed the conditioning required for a war horse, its state was described as praus, that is meek. The war horse had power under authority. That's being a meek horse. Even though this horse is a war horse, it knows no fear. It can face any enemy. It can go into places where you would not dare to go. It could crush you under its hoofs. It's a powerful, magnificent beast, a horse. But it puts that all that power under the authority of the rider. When the rider just tags the thing this way, it turns that way. Doesn't matter whether there is water there, there's a ditch, there is what, it will go that way. When the father turns the thing this way and say, go this way, you go that way. Whether it's going to cost you your job, whether it's going to cost you your reputation, you do that. Why? You've got absolute power under perfect control of the Father. That is meekness. It is meekness begins with God and ends with God. It's a quality you cannot describe outside of your relationship with the Word of God and the will of God. A meek person has absolute power to do what they want to do, but it's under the perfect control of the Father. May the Lord bless you this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again this morning, Lord, for your grace and your message to us, Lord, even in this Sunday school. We want to commit now, Lord, the song service into your hands. May you come, Lord, and speak unto us, Lord, and lift our souls once again and bring us to a place where we can hear your word, Lord, and see what it is that you are speaking to us. We commit the service to you. Bless the musicians. Bless the pastor. Lord, use them mightily this morning. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.